You're listening to the Sights and Sounds Show with me, Janae Darden, on KALW 91.7 FM. The 4th of July holiday is coming up, and for some Bay Area nerds, that weekend is not just filled with stars and stripes, but spaceships and magic, too. The sci-fi fantasy convention BayCon is returning to the South Bay for its 42nd convention, and this year will include an Afrofuturism lounge. Those of you who are regular listeners know Afrofuturism is one of my favorite genres. The Afrofuturism lounge will feature screenings, interactive sessions, panel discussions, and other fun things. BayCon runs July 3rd to the 6th at the Santa Clara Marriott, and here to talk about the Afrofuturism lounge is one of the co-curators and a repeat Sights and Sounds guest and writer, Audrey T. Williams. Hey, welcome back, Audrey.
Hello, Janae. Thank you for having me.
It's always a pleasure and fun when you're here. Okay, so for folks who don't know, maybe don't really grasp the concept, define Afrofuturism.
I would define Afrofuturism as the ability to imagine ourselves in the future, basically remembering our past and how we move through the present to have brighter futures that are just inclusive of us and our culture and our ancestry.
And you mean us, you mean Black folks?
Oh, I'm talking Black folks. Yes. Yeah. On the continent, in the diaspora, all the Black folks.
Afrofuturism, we can see it in film, we see it in paintings, we see it in literature, we see it in music. And you are very passionate about this, Audrey, because you are actually in a doctorate program studying Afrofuturism. Why did you want to study Afrofuturism? Because that's when you're getting a PhD in something like this, that's serious.
Well, let me reframe that just a little bit. So my actual PhD program is in depth psychology, which is based out of Carl Jung. Most people are aware he's known for his dream analysis and for work with mythology and archetypes. And so my PhD research is actually on the genre of speculative fiction, of which Afrofuturism is one of the genres, but it's also inclusive of fantasy, sci-fi, and horror, and looking at the ways in which this can be used for wellness and mental health in our communities.
So that's deep.
That's deep. No pun intended. With the depth psychology.
But it is deep. Well, that's why, yeah, like what you said. But that is deep to look at, you know, look at these art forms or speculative fiction as healing. And when you're looking at, you know, especially to marginalized people, yeah, that's deep.
Yeah, we actually we had a chance just a couple weekends ago during Bay Area Book Festival. They also were running the Locust Awards, which is a local speculative community, well-known magazine. And I had the opportunity to be on a panel and interview Tanana Reeve-Dhu and three other prominent horror writers about how this subgenre of social horror can be used to bolster resilience. So, yeah.
And social horror is...
Well, a good example would be Jordan Peele's movies, right? Where it focuses on specific socio-cultural aspects of the horror genre. So Jordan Peele writes for and to and about Black audiences. And so horror that's specific to the social moment that's happening in Black society. So for an example, a scene in the movie, there's a white woman and a Black man in the street, and you see a cop car coming down with the sirens going, what you think is a cop car. And all the Black people as an audience were afraid in that moment, because to them, they think, oh my goodness, this white woman is going to flip this so that the Black man, you know, gets arrested by the police. Like that was our fear. Whereas a white audience, or people who don't necessarily have skin in the game, as we say, they're not going to be horrified by that moment in the way a Black audience would. So that's just one example of social or sociocultural horror.
Yeah, so and so looking at, like you said, social injustice issues,
right,
that we see in horror. That's the horror I can read, because I'm like, okay, it's not just a slasher. There's some things I can analyze, because yeah, I get scared.
Although the slasher movies, and I can't watch them either. I'm too visual. But there's also an element of resilience that shows up, like watching the zombie movies, Walking Dead, those kinds of things, because those people are faced with these really hard choices, right? Like your child is turned into a zombie and there's a choice that you have to make in that moment. And so there's a way it can be argued that it prepares people to have agency in moments of really difficult choice.
Yeah, and I remember at that panel at the Bay Area Book Festival, Tananarive Due said something about there was an article, and I think I read this article too, that people who watched horror or consumed horror, they handled the pandemic, the COVID pandemic better than others, because they were like, we've been waiting for this.
That was a data point that I had read. It was another horror writer, Angela Yuriko Smith. I read her blog, and she had said there is a study that showed that people that did better in COVID were horror fans because they were already ready for the worst to happen. That's crazy.
That is. So, okay, this Afrofuturism Lounge, this is not the first year. This is the second year.
Yes. Yeah, so we piloted this at BayCon last year. And I have to say, they reached out to us. They are doing their absolute best to solve the underrepresentation problem that they've had in past years. And so we were honored for them to invite us. As I mentioned, my colleague, Dr. Luana Richmond, is coming up from San Diego. She's put on Afrofuturism Lounge at BayCon last year and in the San Diego Comic Con and lots of other venues. So we're really honored to have her back. I'm acting as a co-curator. Myself and a bunch of local organizers are coming together. And really, this is a function of a larger nonprofit, the Black Speculative Arts Movement. So we represent the Northern California chapter. There's a Southern California chapter. There's a West Coast chapter. And it's a global organization. So if folks don't know about BSAM, I encourage that as well.
So they invited BSAM last year and you all came out and did your thing. And so they invite you back again. And I just want to mention that Luana Richmond is a scholar at UC San Diego. And like you said, Audrey, she's contributed a lot to the genre. If you're just joining me, I'm chatting with writer Audrey T. Williams. She is the co-curator of the Afrofuturism Lounge, which you can experience at the sci-fi fantasy convention, BayCon. BayCon is July 3rd through the 6th at the Santa Clara Marriott. Now, the window for pre-registration has closed, but you can buy day passes beginning this Saturday. Okay, so I will be at the Afrofuturism Lounge because one thing about Audrey, she go invite you some, but you got to work.
I just want your face in the place. I just want you there.
So I will be there. I'll probably perform something. But tell us, what can we expect? Because I haven't been, so I really want to know what can we expect.
Oh, you are in for a treat, Janae. Okay, so this is really an immersive experience. There's going to be something for everyone. So if you know Calvin Williams from Wakanda Dream Lab, he's going to come out. His folks are going to be lining the walls with their art. So we'll have art from Wakanda Dream Lab that's going to be up. We've got gamers that are coming out. If y'all know about Pantheon Cards, they have a card game that's built around the whole like Orisha universe. So it's like a mythology. Mm-hmm. Think, you know, kind of like tarot cards, but it's gameplay. It's more like a D&D meets tarot. Like, you just got to come out. You got to experience that. So we're going to open our doors Friday at 11 a.m. Friday, most of the day is actually going to be about the youth. We have Sharinda Bryant, who is the creator of the Afrofuturism Discovery Academy, which is a K-12 summer camp academy for STEAM curricula, for math, for the little ones.
Oh, wow.
We're going to have a bunch of programs. Yes, she's going to be talking about her free online summer camp for the youth. So that's going to be amazing. And then Saturday, we're going to be showing a film that is called Mr. Advocate. And it's all about the ways in which teachers can advocate for things or they can stand up against things and this whole AI controversy, right? So this is filmed by documentary filmmaker Stacey McClam. So we're going to have a Q&A after that about, should we be using AI in schools? Like, what are the ethics? What are the standards around that? We have, different readings. We're going to have an open mic. We're going to have some Afrofuturist poetry that's going to be read. The poet in residence for BayCon this year is Sumiko Salson, and they will be reading.
Sumiko.
Yes, Sumiko will be reading. I'm hoping, Janae, I'm hoping you will bless us with some of your writing.
That's why I'm coming. and the lounge. And Sumiko is also a regular, has been a regular at Sights and Sounds, and she's performed for our live events too as well. So, okay, cool. I'm so excited for her.
Yes, and then I have to shout out.
Them,
yes. And I have to also shout out our friend in common, Dr. Adrian Oliver, because Dr. Adrian and I are going to be presenting our new Women of Afrofuturism. It's a women and readers. It's a reading list because we did a booth at the Bay Area book festival, and we were bombarded. Janae, I think you were there. Like, we had
I was
hundreds of
there.
people come up to us, and they just want more. People cannot get enough Afrofuturism. So if you have questions, like, who should I read? Like, my child wants to read. Like, what's appropriate for my child to read? We're going to have all the information. And then we're also going to look forward to our friend Noelle the First. She is an amazing cosplayer. She's going to be running around doing costume changes. She does divination, she does tarot, she does Reiki. So we're going to have like kind of like a little sanctuary corner in the Afrofuturism lounge, a little healing corner.
Interesting.
Yes. And then there's another local filmmaker, Lauren Rasko. If you came to the Afrofuturist salon that we did at Beast Crawl, you saw one of her short Afrofuturist films. We'll be running some of Lauren's films as well. She can't attend, but her films will be there. So I feel like there's something for everyone in the space.
That's a lot. That's a lot. That's a lot.
Well,
Yeah, that is, and I know that's just
that's a
like a
taste.
snippet. Yeah, because it's going on for several days. What have been the people's reaction to people who are not black who have come to the Afrofuturism Lounge? Because this is only the second year. So last year was the launch, you know, and you mentioned too, like some people were interested when you were tabling at the Bay Area Book Festival. But yeah, like what are some of the questions people have who are outside of the black community and they want to learn more about the genre?
I will say the space has been blessed with so many allies, especially at the Bay Area Book Festival. I can tell you it was right in the heart of Berkeley. There was a lot of young white couples with their kids, a lot of mixed race couples, a lot of older silver-haired Berkeley residents, and they just wanted to do their best to be allies. A lot of them, I'll tell you the truth, I'll be honest. A lot of them have read Octavia Butler and they want more. And they were like, okay, I've read, you know, Parable of the Sower. Like, what's next? Like, okay, Parable of the Talents. And then, like, who else? Like, what other authors are out there? And they're really just ready to broaden their horizons and we're ready to help them.
Wow. And this week, Monday, was Octavia Butler's
Her
birthday. So,
79th birthday. That's right.
yes. Shout out to Octavia Butler. So this year's theme at BayCon is The Answer. And according to the BayCon website, quote, "The theme acknowledges our 42nd convention by celebrating the cosmic absurdity of Douglas Adams' answer to the ultimate question of life, the universe, and everything." And Douglas Adams was an English author, humorist, and screenwriter. And he wrote The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, which was a comedy series on radio, his books, and I think you said his film. So okay, explain that. So 42nd,
Okay,
Douglas Adams, break it. You got you the doc. You got the doc. You getting the doctor in this. So Professor Williams, school us.
so 42 in Douglas Adams. And I have to confess, I read the book when I was much younger, but I have seen the movie probably a couple times. If y'all haven't seen the movie, it's funny. It's a funny romp through space. Think Galaxy Quest. It's Or Spaceballs, even. Like, it's just a really humorous satire. It's based on a spaceship. And I will say there's even a little Afrofuturist angle to it because one of the main characters is Mos Def. And so, yeah, if y'all haven't seen the movie, definitely check that out. But the point of 42 is that's kind of like the through line that runs through the movie. The answer to any question in the universe is always 42. 42 is the answer.
So when I thought of 42, I thought of Jackie Robinson's number, the
Well,
baseball
there we go.
player.
That
And
is the answer.
who played Jackie Robinson? Chadwick Boseman.
Oh,
Who played
Black Panther!
T'Challa?
I love that. You brought that full circle. Okay, so 42 has.
That was me in my imagination. Yes, I just and of course Douglas Adams, who's deceased. He wrote this and he wrote that in the 1970s. But I just thought about 42. Yeah, Jackie Robinson, Chadwick Boseman,
Okay,
Wakanda
brought
Forever.
us back.
That's
42 is Afrofuturist by nature.
right, Ryan Coogler, which always goes back to Sinners because I'm still obsessed with that film. Okay, but we took a detour. Audrey, what do you hope that people get out of this? This Afrofuturism lounge.
I hope that people realize that Afrofuturism isn't. It is Black Panther and it is so much more. It is film, it is our culture, it is books, it is the way that we are present in all the art forms and all the possible ways of life, For me, I'm representing how Afrofuturism as a literary art form can lead to individual and collective liberation. My nonprofit, Ancestral Futures, is actually sponsoring the Afrofuturism Lounge. So I just want folks to come check us out. Check out my website, ancestralfutures.org, sign up for the mailing list, and we'll keep you informed on all things Afrofuturism.
Well, Audrey, I will see you soon at the Afrofuturism Lounge. And thanks for coming on once again.
Thanks for having me.
I've been speaking with Audrey T. Williams, co-curator of the Afrofuturism Lounge at BayCon in Santa Clara. And that's happening from July 3rd to the 6th. This interview was co-produced by Perferial Wrangle.